This is Chuck Huber. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast. Stop being so awesome.
This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Man. I love Houston. I love podcasting. But what I really love is the Rebel Radio Podcast.
Welcome to episode 55 of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is your host, Mark.
Matt the Electric Monkey.
And Frank T. Biscuit.
Why do you got to be more dramatic with your name, Frank?
Because Frank T. Biscuit.
Episode 55. So we're cruising along on our way to 100, like in 2 years or something. I don't know. We'll see. But so what's been going on? You know, I apparently got told that I talk too much on the podcast. So
one of my coworkers.
So you little bitches.
Jose, hey, or Josh, or whichever he prefers to be called, said that you talk too much.
His name is Josh and Jose?
Well, we call him Jose, but then apparently all his friends and anybody who knows him outside of work calls him Josh. So
street name.
He's a gangster.
Yeah.
And, hey, so, don't mess with him.
But you know, I am the lead host of the Rebel Radio Podcast. So in my defense, I should be able to talk. But since I talk too much, let's see what you little fuckers come up with.
All right. So what we have going on today, Biscuit, is we have the main topic today is Terminator. It's been out for...
That's actually not the main topic.
I thought the main topic was Star Trek.
I clearly had the floor.
Okay. Now you're gonna fuck up the show.
We're going to talk about waffles.
I hand the floor back over to the distinguished gentleman from Limp Monkey Biscuit.
our main topic today is Star Trek. We're going to talk about the many films that have come out. Actually, the only film, which is the Dolphin film, The Voyage Home, right, Frank?
Exactly, the best one of all.
That's the only one that matters. So our whole episode is going to be based on The Voyage Home because it has the best jokes, and I believe that, you know, it's cool that they go back and they teach us, you know, some things that we really didn't know.
Says the guy who's never seen the movie.
I saw half of it, and I know that they taught this, you know, this one company how to do some things that they weren't supposed to know how to do just yet so they could get money and buy, like, drugs or something so they can poison the Vandronauts.
Yeah, he totally missed that second half of the movie.
This is why I'm the host. And this is my creation that I allow y'all to be a part of. So, Frank, do you have anything to add since I talk too much?
No, not really. I just thought it was fun to pick at you about saying it. Man. You know, we ain't jacking with each other then, you know.
Heck yeah, it's the American way, you know. You make fun of each other to make everyone feel welcome.
No, the American way is to make fun of other countries, each other.
Here then on episode 55 of the Rebel Radio Podcast, which you can find at TrustMeI'mAJedi.com. And you can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook for all your Trust Me, I'm a Jedi needs. And also be checking out DuelOfTheNerds.com, my new show with the evil Dr. Tran. We will be releasing a second episode later this week, I believe. And so look for that. But anyway, this is the Rebel Radio Podcast, and at the danger of talking too much, I'm going to talk. So there.
A lot.
And, so it is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek this year. And as Matt attempted to say, that is the focus of our topic today. Now, I have to give a shout out to Chris from the Las Vegas Faces and Aces podcast. Hope I didn't screw up his name.
You did.
Who's been the name of their show. Who's been a supporter of ours, and he's done a couple of our We Got You Covered combo covers for us, and he requested two Star Trek shows, but we're going to do one, Chris, because, well, one, Matt has not really seen any Star Trek films, and not really. Very much. He's just familiar with it through pop culture, so we found it a little difficult to stretch it out over two shows. So we're doing one, Chris, so we hope we do the best job with our 50th anniversary Star Trek episode. And it's a big year for anniversaries in films, like we talked about the last couple episodes of Aliens' 30th anniversary. It's also the 30th anniversary of Top Gun this year. It's also the 25th anniversary of Terminator 2. It was also last episode, 30th anniversary of Big Trouble in Little China.
Yes.
There's been a lot of anniversary movies. 86 was a good year for films, and that, so, you know, a lot of those anniversaries. And 25 years of Terminator, and as people that know, listen to Rebel Radio Podcast, we all enjoy Terminator. Matt is personally obsessed with Arnold Schwarzenegger to the point where he had to have a letter sent to him, his house, to cease and desist stalking him.
You promised you wouldn't mention that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I forgot that.
Never part of the court order was that we weren't allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, so, you know, So Matt loves his Arnold. So we're going to talk some Terminator 2 here in a little while. You know, actually, let's talk Terminator first, because Star Trek will be a little bit more in-depth. So 25 years since Terminator. The original film came out in 84, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 84. And James Cameron gave us a cyborg creation, and it was a modest hit when it came out, but it was a good enough hit that they gave him money to do a part two. And Terminator 2 was probably the first modern-day...
badass film?
It kind of brought... It kind of started the 90s action film things for sure.
Definitely.
They kept getting more and more over the top from Terminator because you got into the Rock and the Con Air territories and stuff with the absurd action films. But Terminator 2 is definitely the kickoff for the 90s, I would say, because it came out in 90. So if it's 25 years, what year did I make it? 91, right?
91.
Yeah, man, I kept thinking Terminator 2 was 92 for some reason. Yeah. But 1991, and so, you know, Jurassic Park wasn't out yet, some of the other big action films from that era. So this was like the first one. And Terminator 2, I think, was kind of responsible for moving on from the 80s schlock action films like Top Gun and Delta Force and things like that that were just kind of into a modern sci-fi action film. Something we had seen that Cameron had done with Aliens. It was a sci-fi action film. Mm-hmm. And Terminator 2 brought us into a new era in the 90s with a completely CGI character, the T-1000. And remarkably, the film holds up tremendously well today.
Heck yeah.
Everyone by now has seen the director's cut with all the added footage, which is a much better film. I mean, not that the theatrical cut's a bad film. It's one of those films that it could go either way, you know. It's not like the Batman v Superman cut lately that comes out Tuesday on DVD. It's a much better film with that cut. But Terminator worked either way. And I don't talk too much. Matt, Terminator 2, man, I know for you, a little bit younger than me and Frank, that this is like the film. It's almost up there with Star Wars for you as far as the film.
Definitely.
That influenced you.
And I like the one with the added scenes because it added Michael Biehn, his scene in there where he's like, on your feet, soldier, you know, and she's still in the mental hospital. And, you know, he's like, pull it together. There's like little things like that. And for me as a kid, I thought it was awesome, man, you know, and... You know, it boosted my love for action films, and I don't think that's hard. I think every guy likes a good action film. No one goes out there and says, "Man, I want to see that Dear John movie," you know, with Channing Tatum. But
Matt did. Let's be honest, he did.
Frank probably owns The Notebook.
The Notebook.
I don't even own a book. Well, on a notebook.
But you're right. It definitely seems to be probably the grandfather of the 90s films. I mean, whenever he's up there and he's like, he's got a damn minigun, and he's blowing cars up left and right. Whenever they redid the CGI on the T-1000 and re-released it, that's what we see on TV, I think, was whenever they up-converted. That was pretty cool. And it's even the original, like you said, it holds up really well. I mean, that's always on Encore, all the time.
Like on something the other day.
TNT, Encore.
Yeah. The first two Terminator films really good. Obviously, the third one left something to be, you know, left out for. I actually enjoyed Salvation, but then they chose to reboot it with that. I still don't know what we watched in theaters last summer when three of us went. What that was all about.
But you know what I remember from Terminator 2?
What?
Is honestly, they didn't even need to, like, even put out a commercial spot with the music video from Guns N' Roses. And the constant rotation on MTV when MTV was actually worth a crap.
Yep.
You know, compared to what it is nowadays. When the M actually stood for what it was meant to. That was on like all the time. It was almost like played religiously like Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Well, you remember when that came out, it's kind of funny that Guns N' Roses are back touring now. And the same year as the Terminator's anniversary, that they released that song like really, really early because the Use Your Illusion albums were supposed to be out like around the time of Terminator, and they kept getting delayed. It felt like I want to say You Could Be Mine probably was released 6 to 8 months before the albums ever came out because they were tied in with the film, and they just kept delaying the Use Your Illusion albums, and finally they hit later that year, I believe, if I remember right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it seemed like that song was out forever, and you're right, it was a constant rotation on MTV. Matt, you don't remember Z-Rock, good old rock and roll station we had back in Houston. It was metal and metal and metal.
Compared to what we got nowadays. Is that 101?
No, Rock 101 KLL was different. We had, it was, it's on the same where 106.9 is now, but it was 106.9 Z-Rock. Oh, okay. And it was like metal and rock, and it was, it what didn't play as much.
We actually had full radio stations at one time in this city.
It didn't play as much classic rock as 101 did.
Is that the one from Conroe?
No, this I don't remember if it was based in Conroe, but it didn't it didn't play as much classic rock as like 101 did, or mm-hmm. or even the Eagle does now. This was like a metal station, but it was metal. It also played alternative. It had grunge on it. They played, you know, stuff like Nirvana and Alice in Chains and things like that.
Yeah, but not this hipster rock.
Yeah, then you would never have heard nowadays. Nickelback on Z-Rock or Seether or any of that bullshit.
With the Buzz.
Oh, the Buzz sucks. That's,
I use Slacker radio.
I don't even listen to the radio in the car anymore. I just play a CD or listen to sports radio or whatever. You know,
pretty much.
But yeah, so Guns N' Roses, the song, was a big promotional tool. Frank's definitely right about that.
George Thorogood and Bad to the Bone.
Even the first teaser trailer, do you remember the first teaser trailer just showed like, I think I want to say it was like Arnold on the bike, and it just showed Terminator 2 logo.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I actually have that. I have that old print. It was they did some reprints on the posters and the, I forget who drew it up. But my uncle bought it for me, and he actually found a old magazine from 91 that was promoting the Terminator movie. It had like the movie shots from whenever they're filming during the film, and he bought it for me. I can't find it for the life of me. It's somewhere in the house. I gotta find it, because that would have been really cool to share today. That would have been really cool.
I actually have a question for both of you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll start with Matt, since he's a big... What's your favorite scene in Terminator 2?
I was going to actually ask.
I beat you to it, so good.
I'm the host, bitch. I was going to say, what's y'all's favorite scenes?
Man, you know, as far as Terminator 2, I'd have to say it's got to be the Sarah Connor scene. Because I know it's weird.
Go in depth to it.
What scene is it?
Okay, so they're going, you know, and they're touring the mental hospital. It's fairly early. And it has the doctor, you know, with the donut on top of his head. You know what I'm talking about? Missing hair. And so she's doing pull-ups. Just G.I. Jane style. And she's like, sun's out, guns out. You know, and she turns around and she's like, hi, doctor. You know, how's your arm? And he like takes off the intercom and he's like, she broke my arm last session. So I just thought it was funny. It's like, you know, she's just this badass crazy lady, and she gave birth to the savior of the human race, and she's like, yeah, how's your arm? And he's like, yeah, she broke my arm.
Now, the entire 2.5 hour film, that's your favorite? Yeah. I would never have. I mean, what about your buddy Arnold, dude?
I mean, it's two parts. I mean, that's as far as like a comedic standpoint, that's probably my favorite one. But with Arnold, it's got to be I need your boots, your clothes, and your motorcycle. And he just goes to town on the bar. I mean, people are stabbing
naked
him.
Naked Arnold, that's what he likes.
Yeah, basically. He always comes back to Naked Arnold. Mark, yours?
I like the shootout at the police headquarters.
Yeah.
Was it police head or Skynet? Skynet. Or where Skynet was going to start.
Mm-hmm.
It was I don't think it was called Skynet yet, was it?
It was something laboratory. Yeah,
I think it's just a fantastic action piece. It's
Cyberdyne.
Yeah, Cyberdyne, that's right. It's classic Cameron. A great action piece in the middle of the film. It just stands out. It's still shot very well. You know, it's Cameron at his finest. You know, the alien shootout in the middle of the aliens film. He always has like this center point action scene in his films. Even Titanic, even though it's a tad moment. I mean, a tad moment. a sad moment in the film where the ship's sinking. It's still this fantastic action piece. And even in Avatar at the end of the film, the big shootout in the woods. Cameron always is very good at building a film until you get the center point action film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, the shootout in Cyberdyne is almost more the climax of the film than at the end. Because at the end, it's just kind of a chase through the metal factory
trying to
survive the T-1000. Mm-hmm. It's not so much an action piece as a chase. And I just think that's a great Cameron center point in that film.
Definitely.
And that's probably my favorite scene.
So Biscuit, what's your favorite scene in the movie?
Well,
mine is also takes place in a mental institution.
Prison. You can't host yourself.
Well, you know. Anyway, so my favorite part is also takes place there, but mine was whenever Arnold or the Terminator actually shows up
mm-hmm.
and she's loose, And she comes around the corner, and he's standing there, and she just starts sliding on the floor.
Yeah,
and that look on her
face.
She
loses it. Look of terror on her face.
Yeah, the look of terror on her face of seeing the, what, you know, is her death, or yeah, at least what she presumes.
She's like, I'm dead.
And even, pretty much.
Even when John Connor comes around, he's like, Mom, Mom. She's like, she doesn't hear him. She didn't hear nothing.
Yeah, and it's just and all even quiet. In the movie, it's just like...
It's like, you know, everything's quiet, and then she gets tackled, and of course, you know, Arnold throws everybody off of her. I thought you were going to say the scene that follows that, whenever T-1000, like, walks up to the bars, and he's just like, you know, the bars go through him because he's liquid metal.
But we have to admit, man, when they were doing that liquid metal stuff, it was pretty cool. Yeah. Like the was, camouflaging into the floor.
It was cutting edge at the time.
I like also like the scene where like he's like going one way and then it just like reverses.
Oh,
back
yeah,
the other way.
He got, yeah, he his what is he thrown into a wall and then he
it just reverses instead
that was
of like
in
turning
the mall,
around
in the mall. Yeah, whenever they're fighting.
You know, Industrial Light Magic did remarkable work on the movie because we're today nothing. I very rarely get shocked by special effects anymore. Every now and then I might see something like, oh, that was really cool, you know, something different. But as far as the work that the effects crews do, nothing surprises us anymore because they could do almost anything, you know. Mm-hmm.
But you know what I find
but
funny?
I wasn't
go
done.
Ahead. Sorry.
But Terminator 2 still holds up very well, and it doesn't look dated. If you watch the movie now, even 25 years later, of course, it still looks good. It will stand up against today's films.
It mm-hmm. looks good, except for it's just missing one thing to bring it more modern day.
Topless.
No. Everybody walking around staring at their cell phones. It's missing well, cell phones.
That's just part
to be
of
honest.
Playing Pokemon Go.
Yeah, walking out in front of the Terminator.
Someone's drives out in front of that SUV or that the semi truck and motorcycle chase. Like, oh, there's a Charmander over here.
I was really hoping we'd make it through a whole fucking episode without talking about Pokemon Go.
Sorry,
it's all over the damn internet already.
Yeah,
and Wife's playing it. Matt's playing it. Allegedly. I guess your wife's playing it too.
No, she's not. She's like, really? You have that on your phone? I'm like, you know what? I want to be the very best like no one ever was. Don't judge me.
I would just love it like somebody be confused with the actual way it works.
Yeah.
And they just like, they have it. They see the Pokemon standing there. They just chunk their phone at it like a ball. That would be funny. Like dumbass.
Oh, fucking Pokemon.
Anyway,
so you know, sometimes you look at Terminator 2 and how well it was received. I kind of wish Cameron would have done one more, you know, and did his trilogy. You know, we had, you know, Lucas with his Star Wars trilogy, and we had Spielberg with his Indiana Jones, and the great minds and imaginative people of our time. You kind of wish Cameron would have finished Terminator the way he would have liked to have done it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yes, I know in interviews he says he feels that he did all he could with just two films, but you kind of sometimes wish he would have done one more. Now he's moved on to Avatar, which Avatar seems to have had a love-hate relationship with a lot of people. We either love it or you don't. You know, mm-hmm. people, you get a few people, I guess, to say it's okay, and I guess he's going to do like three more or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We'll I thought see. Titanic was so good, I wanted a sequel.
Where Jack comes back from the dead. And he's like, you sons of bitches, you left me there to drown. He's like, ah,
blah. Really?
No. Titanic 2, the resinking of a ship.
The resurrection, all the ghosts come back.
Yes. they build a new ship, but it's haunted
from
all the ghosts
that
dies.
Hey, he did make Piranha 2, The Spawning.
Oh, yeah.
James Cameron's first movie,
oh, boy.
Piranha 2, The Spawning.
Piranha. I'm sure those are one of the things he does would like to take off of his resume.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, everybody's
you know
got to start
find,
somewhere.
What I find funny is, or fascinating is, when it comes to the actual liquid Terminator,
mm-hmm.
like, they were showing behind the scenes when the movie came out, and literally it took a warehouse, it seemed like a warehouse size of computers at the time, just to generate those graphics, whereas nowadays you could do it on your, like, smartphone probably.
Well, now they use multiple animators, it's funny because you have, like, one guy will animate the elbows, and then you pass it on to a guy who animates the heads. It's really weird how they do it now. And they're still using a lot of computers, though. It takes a lot of different
work. So, Steve, what do you do? I'll work for Industrial Light and Magic. What do you do?
Could you imagine being the guy in The Watchmen who had to animate...
I make people's fingers move.
No, the guy in The Watchmen who had to animate Billy Crudup's blue penis.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, for Dr. Manhattan.
It's like, we need you to...
Is this long enough?
What? Advertise this blue
I said long
penis.
Enough. Oh, I thought you said slong
you
enough.
Can see, you can see the actor over there. Dr. Manhattan was played by Billy Crudup. You can see him over there going, no, I'm a little bit bigger than that. And he goes, can you show me? What?
One of the ladies that works there walks in and goes, I have one of those in my closet.
Should I just borrow it?
So Terminator 2, final thoughts on 25 years since the film came out?
Still going strong, man. Still going strong.
Still enjoy watching it.
You think they'll do more? I mean, Genesis wasn't the hit they wanted it to be, but it played well overseas. I just think if... I don't want them to reboot Terminator, even though they tried that with this Genesis. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough story threads there that it doesn't need to be rebooted. But do you get that feeling that they're going to reboot it eventually?
If they want to make it eventually that, the new one stronger.
They're like with like a Dave Bautista type actor or something, you know, like it's another big guy.
I see J.J. Watt as the Terminator.
No.
Yes.
No.
He can do it.
No.
He not, just not, needs to keep playing football.
Nope. Yeah. He's gonna retire because he said that he is only going to play if he can play at this level.
And that fact that I'm going to piss a lot of Texans fans off. Okay, actually be on a team that might actually get some decent players that will actually get them to a Super Bowl.
Brock Osweiler.
Seriously, I hate watching guys like J.J.
Anyway,
Watt's careers go to waste.
Podcast, yeah. But,
anywho.
But, no, I don't know. I just wonder what they're going to do with Terminator from here. You know, the rights have been floating around for years. Who knows who has the rights now, even after Genesis? You know, it seems like there's a different studio puts out every Terminator film.
If it's recent... If it's a like if next year they say they're going to reboot it, I guarantee you The Rock's going to be the Terminator.
You know what's sad is that Arnold, as much as he hasn't really had a huge hit since he came back out of office, Terminator Genesis has been his biggest hit.
Yeah.
Even though it was a terrible film.
Mm-hmm. But you know what I think is I kind of like the idea that if don't stick with just one actor as a Terminator. There could be many different models that you can have different Terminators.
And they tried that with Salvation, and mm-hmm. it just didn't work. Salvation was only a hit in the U.S., and even then it was a modest hit. It didn't play well overseas because you didn't have Arnold. People overseas didn't know who Sam Worthington and Christian Bale and those guys were as much, mm-hmm. and it didn't play well overseas. And that was a lot of people. I actually was curious why we never got a sequel to Salvation, and I went and read up on it. It was mostly because the way it played internationally, it didn't do well.
Did you know overseas they did make a series of spin-off Terminator films?
Yeah, but they're not canon.
No, they're not canon at all. But
they're unofficial.
They had like a female that was a Terminator, and
not actually that uncommon, Matt. Believe it or not, there's been like numerous franchises over the years have had these spin-off just like Mexican knockoff toys you find over at Trader's Village.
Yeah.
They make these knockoff films overseas. I think they're RoboCop had some knockoff films made.
The League of Right Alliance.
Yeah, I read somewhere about a European like Batman type character was made a film over there.
Oh, that probably is hilarious.
Yeah,
as shit.
There's
like
been
so bad.
Back
hilarious.
in the 80s, there were a lot of Star Wars knockoff films made overseas and stuff, trying to cash in on the Star Wars stuff. So that's not really uncommon, you know, as you think. Because the word Terminator is not really a copyrighted word, because the film is. Mm-hmm. But because it's an English language word, Terminate, I think that they can do certain things with films. Like, they can't call a film Star Wars, but they could call a film overseas Terminator, the female edition. So that sounds like a porno film.
Yeah.
But so that's actually pretty common. But I don't know where they'll go from here with Terminator. We'll see. I don't think Terminator is going to go. It'll still be around.
Yeah.
We'll get more. Did you watch the Sarah Connor Chronicles when it was on? That actually was very good.
Out. Yeah.
Again, it was a Fox show that Fox didn't give a chance, and it got canceled after 2 years.
The teacher's in the classroom, like, tearing apart his leg.
Yeah.
And he pulls a gun out from his metal endoskeleton and just starts firing.
Yeah. But I really enjoyed it. I saw both seasons. I watched it, and then when I heard it was canceled, I was like, that sucks. Mm-hmm. But it was actually really
well
done.
That's why nowadays it's really hard for me to even get into network TV, especially on certain networks.
You know, but yeah, it was a gun. It was well done. Terminator, Sarah Connor Chronicles.
And he had a female Terminator watching him.
Oh yeah, Summer Glau.
Yeah,
she's hot. Oh, she was hot. Dude. Yeah, dude. That was like one of the reasons. Watched it.
Yeah. Well, had Lena Headey as Sarah Connor.
How much of you is living?
Lena Headey is from Game of Thrones and 300. She's hot too. Mm-hmm. The whole show was full of hot chicks. You know, one last thought on Terminator 2. What did you guys think about Edward Furlong? I know over the years he's taken a lot of shit for being a terrible actor. And as John Connor, he is kind of the weaker link in the film. But I don't think he did that bad. You know, I think he did okay. You know, he's not Christian Bale as John Connor, but he's he holds his own. I think, you know, I was recently watching, when we watched Genesis, I thought Jason Clarke wasn't that good as John Connor, as an older John Connor. He was kind of like just... Felt like he mailed it in, you know.
Yeah.
But I think Edward Furlong did okay. He signed
on to meet Arnold, and it was good enough.
Yeah, you know, Edward Furlong did what any other teenage kid would do. You know, he played the part as a teenager, you know.
And I think his most important part in the role was, you know, bringing...
His mom in check.
Keeping his mom in check, her head level. And Arnold, the lines, I mean...
Oh, yeah.
You say, no problemo. No problemo.
I think he did fine with the role. So I was wondering what y'all thought of that. So Terminator 2, 25 years, everybody's seen it, everybody enjoys it. If you don't like Terminator 2, something wrong with you.
Yeah.
So let's move on to another popular franchise, one that's got a little more history than Terminator. It's 50 years since Star Trek hit television shows. Star Trek Beyond hits theaters this Friday, and it's getting very good reviews. A lot of people were worried about J.J. Abrams not being director. They brought in Justin Lin, of course, who made a couple of the more popular Fast and the Furious movies. Mm-hmm. And but so far, so good. They said it's a very good script. Simon Pegg, of course, helped write it with his writing partner. And Simon Pegg, of course, plays Scotty in the new Star Trek films. Mm-hmm. And people know him from his Shaun of the Dead films and things like that. Everyone knows Simon Pegg, Mission Impossible. And he's a big Star Trek fan, so he helped write this one. J.J. Abrams was still on as producer, and from what I've read about J.J. Abrams, he's not one of these producers that's on it by names, that he is very hand-on with his films. He helps the directors and talks to them and gives ideas.
Make it stay the course that he visioned for.
They were saying when they were in pre-production, while he was finishing up The Force Awakens, he was talking to Justin Lin through internet or whatever, and they were getting the film ready to go, so that Abrams was still hands-on while finishing up Star Wars. So Star Trek Beyond in theaters, and... before we get into the old school, Matt, I know you haven't even seen the reboots, huh?
I haven't even seen the reboots. See,
I think the reboots have been fantastic. And I recently rewatched, and I really think Abrams' first Star Trek film is... And I know old school Trek... There are a lot of old school Trek fans that hate the reboots. It's against Roddenberry's vision, blah, 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 all this shit, whatever, you know? It's just like these Tolkien people that don't like Lord of the Rings films. Whatever, it's just a vision of something. Mm-hmm. I really think Abrams' first Trek film is the best of all 14 Trek films. Well, I haven't seen Beyond yet, so we'll say all 13 Trek films. And I know Frank likes Voyage Home. I like Wrath of Khan. I like that whole mini trilogy, Wrath of Khan, Search for Spock, Voyage Home. I think it's all three are really good films. But there's
Because those three actually tie into each other.
Abrams' reboot is really a remarkably good science fiction action film. And the way he took it and rebooted it, without it feeling like unnecessary or feeling like it was... He didn't feel like he ripped off the audience with the reboot. Mm-hmm. He did such a good job of bringing Chris Pine and this new crew into it that it's just such a well-played-out film. It's got the most action of any of the Star Trek films. And I really like what he's done with the reboot so far. I'm looking forward to seeing Beyond. I'm hoping I make it this coming weekend. We'll see. But 50 years of Star Trek, that's a long time for something to be around. And it all started back in 1966. That was a mouthful. 1966, when it hit CBS television shows. And this show came along with a kind of cardboard cutout sets and people hitting buttons and cardboard ships going past space fields in the background, and people didn't know what to make of it.
A bunch of flashing lights
and beeping lights, and people seeming with these bad dialogue and not knowing how to act. We had a black woman as a lead role in television, which had never been done before. And it lasted three seasons, and it was a modest hit for CBS. It was almost a hit by default because there wasn't any other science fiction show like it on television. So people would tune in out of curiosity. But it wasn't an enormous hit. People forget about that. Star Trek came back through letter writing campaigns, fan compassion.
Reruns.
Yes, syndication was a huge thing for Star Trek. And it allowed for Gene Roddenberry and Paramount to realize, hey, we have something. And they brought it back as a film, of course, in the late 70s.
But the times had also changed. I was reading something. Apparently, one of the things that hurt Star Trek was the first time, the episode where, you know, you had a black woman and a white man kissing. In the southern states, it wasn't even played on TV.
Yeah, they edited things back then.
And that, like, really hurt its ratings to the point it drove it to be canceled.
And then, you know, the 1950s sci-fi boom was still going in the 60s, but it wasn't as big as, you know, it as people thought it was. And so Star Trek was a very risky show for any network back then. And but it's also has changed our culture completely. The things that are in Star Trek today in our own world, you know, the ideas of 3D printing, things like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of that is owed to Star Trek because Gene Roddenberry was such a visionary that he came up with things before anyone even thought of it. Hydrated food, you know, that's a real thing. It's coming. It's right. Like 3D printing. They have 3D food printers. They have technology right now for hydrated food, but it's like the old computers. The thing is huge to make it. Yeah. So they're trying to figure out a way to sink it down so they can put food on the space station and spaceships and have hydrated food where you can actually turn something into a... Like right now, I think I read the only thing they've had success making is like a cheese pizza. But even it's not like great. They said it still tastes kind of like cardboard. So they're still working on it.
I mean, think about it. The communicator are modern day cell phones in a sense.
Yeah, stun guns. Yeah. I mean, we didn't have... There weren't tasers in the 50s and 60s, you know? And it completely changed television for black people because having Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhura, on there as the first black woman on a lead television show was unheard of in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. And to this day, she is still credited with being that woman that brought black faces to television for women. And it's remarkable that she had to deal with because she had to deal with a lot of nasty media and nasty people saying, you know, that she shouldn't be on television. And she has talked about that before in interviews, how, you know, she went through a lot and then she almost quit at times. And
glad she did.
I don't want to be misquoted, but I want to say it was MLK who spoke to her and told her not to quit. I think it was him that told her what you're doing is one of the most important things that ever have been done. And he convinced her to stay on the show, if I remember reading that right. And so Matt, how come you just never had time to sit and watch Star Trek, or you know,
I've seen reruns, you know, but it's like, you know, I kind of had it on, you know, and just I never really paid much attention. I mean, I knew Kirk always, you know, had relations with the different
Kirk
species.
Kirk liked women,
yes,
alien or not.
And then I remember watching, you know, the new one with Patrick Stewart, and I mean, I just watched it as, you know, okay, this is a sci-fi film. I didn't know, you know, people say Klingon, and I'm just like, the scrunchy head guy. I'm like, so I mean, I loosely watched it. I mean, I'm meant to watch the new ones at least because they looked really good. I just never gotten around to it. And since I didn't really have that base being a big fan or, you know, being, you know, completely immersed in some of the old stuff that came out, you know, I really didn't have that sense of urgency to go out and, you know, man, I really need to watch these films. But so, I really do need to watch them.
By first look, you couldn't tell the difference between a Romulan and a Vulcan.
Nope.
And Star Trek is, you kind of said something there that you didn't have the base for it. And Star Trek is something that is very generational. And I know from Frank and I, we kind of grew up with our fathers watching it, and that's how we may have gotten into it. And I know that's how my first taste was. My dad watched Star Trek, and I had no idea what it was. And I remember he watched Next Generation was on, and it took me a long years before I got into Next Generation. I kind of got into it a little bit later. I found it to be a little boring, a little slow.
Yeah, it really took off for me was Deep Space Nine.
Well, it came on while Next Generation was still on air.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, the way it was written, the way it was shot, what was going on was just more compelling to me than Generations.
But I remember seeing all the Star Trek films in theaters. I remember going with my dad when the originals were in theaters and seeing all of them. I remember enjoying them, but never was like, I was always a Star Wars guy. I don't think I ever owned any Star Trek toys or anything like that. But I respected Star Trek and I knew what it was. I think it was more in the 90s when I really understood what the cultural significance of Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And the topics it dealt with. Star Trek was very good about dealing with like all the different alien species and doing the right thing and fitting in and giving everyone a chance regardless of what they look like. A lot of different things that Star Trek dealt with that was unheard of back in the day. And to this day, it's still, that's what makes it so groundbreaking. the way that Star Trek has changed our culture. And so you haven't seen the films. We know, Frank, your favorite film is Voyage Home.
Right.
You know, and we've... Should I let Frank go off on Voyage Home?
Yes. No, I'm not going to go off on Voyage Home. Other than just, the, you know, like Matt brought up, I like the humor. The actual timeline parts actually make sense. It doesn't throw time in a loop or interrupt time itself by the stuff that they do. But speaking about, you know, like Mark was bringing up, cultural-wise, it kind of, you know, in a way was all about cultural acceptance. Accepting people of other races, other nationalities, other planets. You know, if in the future, if we could do that, why can't we just start doing it now? It was basically what he was trying to get to. You know, yeah, it had a lot of political stuff, but the political stuff was what was going on at that time. And like, hey, you know, if our leaders would just take these steps, maybe it wouldn't be as bad.
Even Star Trek was never overly political. They would do it in the background in
That's what I meant.
But yeah, it was
never what was going on.
He never pushed you in your face or anything like that.
Deep Space Nine kind of did, but that's why I liked it though.
But even Deep Space Nine was more of a diplomatic type politics,
yeah.
You know, trying to solve a war, keep a war from happening, basically. And so it never, watching Star Trek, like, you never felt like it was trying to push you to think one way or another. It gave you options of different ways to think. And I thought that was what was nice about it. And I like Deep Space Nine, too. That's probably my favorite Star Trek show, also. It's funny, with Next Generation, there's certain episodes I really like.
Right.
Like, some of the Borg stuff and certain things. Deep Space Nine, once you get to, like, season five, those last three seasons are just remarkable television.
Yes.
You know, and some of the best Star Trek that's ever been on. I really enjoyed Enterprise, mostly because I'm a Scout Bakula guy. I really love Quantum Leap. And
yeah.
When I heard he was announced as a captain, I was like, that's really cool.
I thought Enterprise was done really good.
And I never really caught on with Voyager.
Oh, my gosh.
I just couldn't deal with it, other than Jerry Ryan smoking hot ass. The rest of the show, I tried really hard, and it lost me about three seasons in. I'm just like, I'm done.
Here's my biggest complaint, and I'm going to go off about this. They propel them into like light years past what any human has seen, been, or gone to. Okay? They could have came up with so many new races, new planets, new ideas. And I swear, two-thirds of that series, they spend in the hologram room going, you know, just doing shit that wasn't important. It was all on the holodeck.
Yeah, that show was
pretty... I mean, you could have created new aliens. But yeah, you're doing episodes where they're going back in time on the holodeck.
Is that where they're always walking around the ship?
The writers are were the worst. The writers were the worst because they had no original ideas. You had the opportunity.
They relied on the Borg a lot in that show, too.
Then the Borg.
Is that the one with the black guy Cyclops? You know?
No, that was Generations.
That was Generations? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of that.
Generations, the first few seasons, they do a lot of walking around the ship. And it's because they kept the budgets low until the show became a success. And I think when they got to, like, season four, when the Best of Both Worlds episode where Picard gets taken over by the Borg, you could tell the budget started going up. They had a little more money. But even back then, Star Trek, even the Next Generation, did pretty well for what it did with its budget. Like, now, TV shows aren't afraid at all to spend $1 million on an episode, like The Flash, The Walking Dead, whatever. But back in the 87 was when Next Generation premiered. I mean, if a producer came to a studio and said, we need $1 million per episode, they would have been like, fuck you. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no way. You know, now it's no big deal. So it's a little different back then. You got to think of it from that standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, by the time they got to Enterprise, it seemed like they had plenty of budget. Enterprise always seemed to have big special effects and big sets and all that, you know?
Yeah, and what I love how the fact that Enterprise, the first one, the original Enterprise, has all this fancy, cool-looking stuff.
It looks completely different.
And then you go to
William Shatner's Enterprise,
and it's beep, boop, boop, beep, yeah. Beep, flashing lights. You know? So it's, you know, it's just kind of funny.
So you haven't seen movies, so I can't ask you what your favorite Star Trek movie is.
I've only seen half of Voyage Home.
I mean,
so
I think
I have to say Voyage Home.
I think my personal Star Trek favorite film is Wrath of Khan, probably, but I really like what Abrams did with his Star Trek. I really like it a lot. I don't know if I can put it as my favorite just because the nostalgia factor's not there. Do I think Abrams Trek fan film is the best? I do think it's the best of all 13 films. And I can just hear some old school Star Trek fan out there right now groaning, listening to the podcast. All these new Trek movies, blah, blah, blah. You know what, people? It's okay to have new ideas and to come up with new things. But I think Wrath of Khan is easily probably my personal favorite. It's still, I think, a really good film. I love Ricardo Montalban as Khan. He's such a cool actor, you know. And
I actually have a guy at work named Khan. So every morning I see him, I go, Khan! Khan!
That's awesome.
It is. And, or if he's late for work, I'll be like, damn you, Khan! And he just looks at me like, so, you're an idiot.
Do you have a favorite captain, Frank? Since you know them all better than this monkey over here.
No, because they're different in their own ways.
I do. I like Picard. I as much as I like Kirk and grew up with him, I just think Picard...
I would put him at number one, but like way up there. I just like them all because they all brought their characters...
Well, one
brought
thing,
something different.
One thing I got from Picard, I like about Picard is he'll... I found him to be the one that will do anything and do whatever it takes to get a man home or to save the ship and he would always put himself on the line.
But yet and, try to keep that fine line of the
regulations of the Starfleet and everything.
Following, like not to screw anything
and
up.
I just think Patrick Stewart did such a great job in the role. And even he admitted at times that, man, he would get the dialogue and the scripts. He's like, how do I act with this stuff? Because it's so weirdly written. But he found a way to make Picard such a cool character. And one of my favorite Picard scenes in all the Star Trek stuff is in Generations. I really like the scene with him and Kirk where they're in they're inside the nebula, you know, and it's all fake. And Shatner's sitting there cooking and he knows it's not real. And Picard comes up to him and says, I need your help. And that's just such a cool moment. Generations isn't the best film. It's okay. It's kind of got a very weak villain. But just Picard and Kirk on screen together in those moments, that's probably one of my favorite Star Trek moments of all time. You know, just seeing those two guys together and sharing screen time for the last 30 minutes of that movie. You know, that's just such a great film.
Yeah, it kind of brought the two generations together at the time.
I always hope they had done more with Sisko and Deep Space Nine. We kind of...
It's got the dropped.
Well, the end of Deep Space Nine was left in a cliffhanger, remember?
Yeah, we were
Sisko
hoping for
disappears
a movie
and we were hoping they would tie him in with the Next Generation cast in a film, and we never got it. Voyager, who cares? They can throw that off the distance. Enterprise was canceled at a time when the show was... Star Trek was starting to die a little bit. You know, and before Abrams brought it back, so Enterprise maybe got canceled before it should have, but at least it kind of had an ending to the show. And now we've got Star Trek rebooted. We've had two Abrams films so far. Now we have the Justin Lin film come out this Friday, and in January we've got a new show on CBS All Access. Some controversy about that, saying making people have to pay to watch a new Star Trek show. They're going to show the premiere of it, I guess, on CBS, so everyone can see the premiere. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it's $5.99 a month for CBS Access, which isn't bad, but I'll probably just torrent the damn shit.
You know? Well, yeah, I mean, most people already have Netflix and Amazon and stuff like that. So it's like pretty soon there'll be all these different companies with all their different prices, and it's like, man, it's costing me more than cable.
Yeah.
Along with having to, you know, get a better internet connection to stream all of this stuff.
So, you know, 50 years of Star Trek still going strong. You know, J.J. Abrams was recently speaking at a press junket for Beyond. They've already got an idea for the fourth film in the reboot franchise. Obviously, you couldn't say much because every film hinges on the box office success of the previous one. But Beyond will probably be a hit. You know, Star Trek plays very well overseas. It always has. And it'll do well domestically, too. I'm sure. I don't think it's going to have a, you know, $100 million opening weekend like some of these films this summer.
I don't think it's going to be the Star Wars of the year.
No, but I can see Beyond opening to $60 million next weekend, 60 to 70. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to open as well as Abrams films just because it doesn't have... I mean, it's J.J. Abrams. His name is light years above J.J. Lin. I'm J.J. Lin. Justin Lin. You know? So we'll see how it does. I'm definitely going to go try to see it next weekend, I hope. Since we're not doing an episode next weekend, hopefully I have time Sunday to go see it. And then the three of us, that Monday night, the 25th, we're going to be going to see Batman the Killing Joke. And we actually have tickets to give away. By the time you hear this episode, the contest should be up on the Facebook page, but You only have till Tuesday to enter. So if this episode's up Monday, you better enter that night when you listen to this episode.
Yes.
So I just something I've forgotten to do with everything that's going on. And so final thoughts on Star Trek's 15th anniversary. Remarkable for something that has lasted this long.
I'm going to have to see Beyond. I'm going to have to catch up.
You're going to have to catch up.
Yeah.
Well, Into Darkness, I think, is still on Netflix, I believe.
I think so.
And then I mean, you can go...
I don't mind renting, you know, on Vudu or yeah. something like that.
Shit, we probably have enough of them between Mark and I that we could just let you borrow them.
You don't
them.
Even... I mean, you don't... I would try to watch the reboots, at least start there. Because the rest of them, you can go back later and watch the originals. Star Trek The Motion Picture is boring. I'll that be one straight is boring. Up honest. It's boring as fuck to watch. I watched the remastered version. It's better because the effects are better. They went in and redid the special effects, but it's a boring film. Okay. If you go back and watch Star Trek, start with Star Trek 2. Honestly, I would watch 2, 3, 4, skip 5. Watch 6 because it's good. Watch Generations because it's important, even though it's not great. Don't you agree, Frank?
Yeah.
It ties in the Generations. Watch First Contact, and you can kind of skip the other two Next Generation films. You don't need to watch Insurrection. The only reason to watch Nemesis is because Tom Hardy's a bad guy. That'd be the only reason to watch Star Trek Nemesis. Other than that, you can pass that one up too, and then jump in the reboot. So out of the 13 films, you can skip about 4 of them, you know, and get a good idea. It, even the original series is hard to watch. I've watched episodes of it, but I went back and wanted to really rewatch them. Because they remaster all the special effects on the original episodes, but they're just they're hard to watch. They're
Have
very
you watched
slow.
Any of the cartoons?
I've seen the cartoons. Those I don't mind. Even though I use a lot of stock footage, a lot of the same animation over and over again.
Well, yeah, because it's a lot of budget.
Yeah, but they're not bad. I actually am a sucker for those old 60s, 70s cartoons. Like, I have on DVD somewhere the Planet of the Apes cartoon they did.
Oh, yeah.
Very similar style. I don't know. I like that stuff, man. The old Super Friends, things like that.
Yeah,
Super Friends. They're ridiculously funny, but I like them. And so,
the
yeah.
Cheese.
Yeah, they're cheesy, but they're fun as hell. I like those old 60s, 70s cartoons. So, yeah, that's where I would watch Star Trek. Just start with Wrath of Khan. Definitely the best one to start with and go from there. And they were on Netflix, a lot of them. I think they took them off, but who knows. It seems like the Star Trek films will be on Netflix and they'll disappear for a couple months and they'll come back. Netflix does have a lot of stuff, though. Mm-hmm. You know, Frank, you, as a longtime Star Trek fan, what do you think Star Trek holds up in the realm of pop culture over 50 years? What are your final thoughts on Star Trek?
Well, you just got to look at, like, it is. It's based in a universe of endless possibilities. I mean, no telling how many more species, alien planets, and that if good writers think about it, could come up with. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, once they stop shelling out the same ones that we know already, and they could actually start coming up with new ones and new and better interesting storylines.
You know, I think that's why I'm looking forward to Beyond, this new race that looks different. You know, it's not Kleons or Romulans again. It looks like something new. You know, it kind of looks cool. And Idris Elba is the bad guy in it, so that's kind of cool. He's a good actor. You know, no, I agree. There's endless possibilities of Star Trek, the way it's affected our pop culture every day in our lives. I mean, hell, we had a space shuttle named after the Enterprise. And, man, we're talking Star Trek. We've hardly mentioned the Enterprise.
Oh, we even have a boat. You know? We even have a ship, a vessel. A nuclear vessel
and,
named
yeah, we had Enterprise. We had a space shuttle named after the Enterprise. I still think the Millennium Falcon's a cooler ship, but but the Starship Enterprise is pretty... I mean, you show it to people, they know what it is.
Yeah.
Our grandmothers know what the Enterprise is. Anyone across the world knows what the Enterprise is. It's ingrained in our culture as much as Spider-Man or Superman.
I'll go piss some Star Wars fans off. But in a fight, I would still pick the Enterprise over the Millennium Falcon.
Well, that's because it's a starship. The Millennium Falcon's a Corellian space freighter. Yeah, of course, a starship...
Get its ass blown up.
Starship's going to blow away the Millennium Falcon. The Star Destroyer will blow away the Millennium Falcon. Why do you think Han hid in the trash? You know?
Twice. I mean, yeah. Technically twice.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, so that's a given there as far as a battle, but Falcon's still a cool ship, man.
Yeah.
You know? And so Star Trek, 50 years, man. That's awesome for anything. And, you know, we're coming up on 40 years of Star Wars next year. And if we're still podcasting 10 years from now, we'll be talking Star Wars 50 years. You know?
Really?
I'm
gonna be doing it when I'm this old.
Yeah, I don't know if we'll be podcasting in 10 years. You never know.
Son of a bitch. Podcast.
My buddy Kerry's been podcasting for 10 years, but he was only 30 10 years ago, so that's a little different. We'll be turning 50 in 10 years, right?
It'll be more just complaining. The complaint podcast.
Yeah,
the damn kids.
Why are they rebooting Big Trouble in Little China?
Yeah. Oh goddamn. Or
they're rebooting Cobra now?
Or they'll reboot the Lord of the Rings or something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, so before,
damn it! They're coming out with another Twilight!
Twilight?
Before we get out of here, Star Wars Rogue One, we were expecting a trailer this weekend at Star Wars Celebration. We didn't get it.
But they didn't give us a trailer, but I was watching some of the making of stuff footage.
Yeah, it's on Trust Me, Jedi, sir.
I know that, but what I'm saying is, actually, that's been more interesting than the damn trailers
It was cool. We got a behind the scenes feature. We got a poster, which was very different than Star Wars poster I've seen before. But it's such a neat poster.
I thought it was Battlefront.
It's like this beautiful beach scene, but there's troopers and stormtroopers battling each other on the ground. It's really cool with the Death Star in the background, and the behind the scenes footage was very cool. It was that little creature and the little thing that he's shooting something. It looks really cool.
Ah! Shooting stuff.
Maybe they're saving the trailer for Comic-Con this week, because we've got to be getting a trailer soon. But I would have sworn I thought StarWars.com were the ones that said it was going to be the 15th. I mean, we didn't get it off
because of Comic-Con.
So, Rogue One, we're 6 months away from it. We'll probably get a trailer in here in the next week or two.
That's coming up next this weekend.
Comic-Con's next weekend. Our next show, we will be talking our screening of The Killing Joke and Comic-Con news on the next show. So, that's coming up.
What is it, USA or Sci-Fi? One of those are having covering it all 3 days?
Maybe so.
We're getting closer to Suicide Squad.
That's a few
weeks.
You
can already pre-order tickets.
Yeah, well, that's not uncommon to be able to pre-order tickets for movies now. You think it's a big deal?
Well, no.
You think it's a big deal?
No, I'm sorry. Huh? Jeez, Mark. At Alamo Drafthouse, they always release it, about 3 weeks in advance that you can pre-order, and you get like a glass.
They're doing glasses again.
And I already see
Beyond also.
I already see it now. Matt will get his tickets. Matt will get his glass. Matt will be sitting in the theater, and we'll get a text message of Matt's hand holding the glass, telling us that he's at the theater.
I got my Batman. Watching it. I got my Star Wars glass, my Batman, Superman glass. I'm good. Unless they do another Star Wars glass for Rogue One. I saw the Suicide Squad glasses. They're cool, but I'm like, not the big deal.
I don't need no stinking glasses.
I only get the ones I really want. Like, I wouldn't mind having the Captain America Civil War one, but that's the Iron Man one I didn't really care that much about, but I thought the Cap one was cool.
Yeah, the Cap one.
But no big deal. So, Rogue One, hopefully we get a trailer this week. Did you guys watch the Rebels Season 3 trailer?
No. Yes, I did.
I didn't get it up on Trust Me, Jedi yet. I need to.
I was looking for it.
But
And it looks like my prediction was right.
Well,
ever since I said Season 1... Ezra.
Well, they tease it in the trailer.
He's getting trained by Darth Maul.
That doesn't mean he's turning.
I hope he turns Sith. I really do.
I don't think he'll turn Sith.
I like the character, but it would be a nice twist on, here you have this character that you wind up liking and loving, then boom.
Well, I don't know if he'll turn Sith as much as he'll flirt with the dark side.
Nah, I want him Sith.
It looks like there's a time jump. Ezra's hair is cut. Kanan's got a beard and some kind of mask to cover his blind eyes now, because he was blind in the finale. And Grand Admiral Thrawn, that's cool.
Dude.
They're bringing him back into continuity. For people that don't know, it's hard pressed to be a Star Wars fan not know who Thrawn is. He was the bad guy in the Heir to the Empire trilogy, which was a series of novels by Timothy Zahn back in the 90s. It kind of got the Star Trek resurgence going again. And when they threw out all the continuity, there are people that complain about certain characters, and Thrawn was one of them.
Yeah, awesome.
So they're bringing him back into Rebels. There's a book coming out here soon that's going to be a prequel to Rebels, which is about Thrawn. Now if they'll just bring back Dash Rendar and Mara Jade, will be good.
Yeah, you got to keep those two characters.
And they can bring back Prince Zizor. If they're going to bring back Dash Rendar, he can bring back Zizor.
But those two characters, actually, their storylines, even though they're canon, actually played important roles.
But
if you think about it.
But the Rebels Season 3 trailer was pretty cool.
It was.
Ezra looks like he's learned more. He's got a green lightsaber now, jumping around and doing stuff. Kanan's obviously worried about him in the trailer. We see him flirting with the dark side and working with Darth Maul. I don't know if he's going to turn yet. We'll see. But I guess it's coming in September, October. They didn't really give a premiere date. They just said this fall on Disney XD.
Yeah.
And by the time you hear the show, it will be up on TrustMeAndJaya.com. I just hadn't got it. Just hit yesterday. I just had a chance to sit down and put it out, because Star Wars Celebration is going on in Europe this weekend. And no Episode 8 news. I actually read this morning before we recorded. Excuse me. They had the Episode 8 panel this morning, and I guess in Europe, no title, nothing. All Rian Johnson did was confirm that this is the first Star Wars movie to not have a time jump. It takes place literally minutes after Episode 7 took off, Force Awakens ended. And he talked about
Not a 2 week or a month no. gap.
That Gareth Edwards, who directed Rogue One, and Philip Lord and the other guy who are directing the Han Solo movie, they have cameos in the film. He confirmed that's about it, you know. But other than that, no title. Everybody was thinking we'd get a title for Episode 8 since we're about a year and a half out, but nothing. Just, you know.
Maybe they'll surprise us by the third film. We'll learn that Han really isn't dead.
Nah, he's dead.
He's dead.
Yeah, Darth Maul wasn't dead, apparently.
That's cartoon world, though.
Yeah.
And that was Lucas's call. Lucas asked Dave Filoni in the Clone Wars to bring him back. You know, so because they weren't going to do it. They weren't going to bring Darth Maul back. They had this story idea, and they went to Lucas and George that openly admitted, yeah, I shouldn't have killed Darth Maul. And so they
just
brought him back.
Just like, know? He's like, oh, I kind of made that mistake twice because I also killed off Boba Fett. Huh, yeah, well, let's just bring him back.
But he had nothing to do with Han dying. This is a whole new, you know. But no,
it was basically Harrison Ford wanted Han dead in Return of the Jedi.
Well, actually, have you watched the documentary yet on the Force Awakens disc, the long one?
No.
It's not long. It's about an hour and 20 minutes. It's really good, though. It talks about the make. And Harrison Ford talks about that, in that he mentioned how he wanted Han to die back when they did Return of the Jedi. But he didn't want Han to... He wanted Han to die for a cause. He always felt like Han was that rebel that... He didn't want to be a part of it, but yet he became a part of it. So he always felt that he wanted to be the guy to sacrifice himself. And that he talks about that, how he felt that Han finally got that appropriate death, that, yeah, his son killed him, but...
It was a dramatic moment.
But it was for a reason. And you know, so we'll see, you know, where we go from here with Kylo Ren. And it's kind of weird. When you watch that documentary, some people referred to him, they were calling him Kilo.
Kilo.
I guess before Abrams came in and said, no, it's Kylo. What do y'all call him Kilo for? You know, you need to take the time if you have the disc to watch that documentary. It's really good.
Can I get a kilo of Ren, please?
The disc, right? Yeah, you bought the disc. He didn't download it like this guy.
I have all the special features.
Did you buy the disc?
I just have all the special
features. Yeah, the documentary is really good.
And he can't watch nothing when his internet's not working right.
Here's our phone.
Digital people. And
screen mirroring.
So, man, we've been a little bit all over the place today. Anniversaries of all these films have been coming out. And go to TrustMeTheJedi.com. And we hope you enjoyed our Star Trek episode today. It was mostly Star Trek, a little bit of Terminator 2, and some Star Wars talk. Three major franchises all in one episode. It doesn't get much more epic than that.
No, I just can't wait until our Howard the Duck anniversary.
Oh, Lord.
Yes, I know.
And if I talk too much, sorry.
I didn't buy it, I found it on Blu-ray, and I'm like, really?
These bastards tell me I talk too much. What the fuck? You know what? You tell Jose Josh the Third that just thanks for listening, okay? I appreciate it.
Jose / Josh, thank you for listening.
You know, even if I do talk too much. I mean, really, he works with you. He has to hear you talk. Does he really want to hear you talk more?
No. I don't even like hearing me talk.
I don't like hearing me talk.
So, you guys got anything else? I can't think of anything else.
That's about it.
You know, Terminator, Star Trek, TrustMeTheJedi.com is where you can find the Rebel Radio podcast. And follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And do us a favor, go to iTunes. Leave us a quick review. Just hit 5 stars. Say, hey, these guys are cool. And that's it. We only have 7 reviews on iTunes. I want 10. At least 10. And then we're going to shoot for 20. But right now, I'm bugging out for 10. That's only 3 people. If 3 of y'all are listening to the show right now, just click the iTunes link on the Rebel Radio page on TrustMeTheJedi.com and leave us a quick review. We will be very appreciative, and Matt will send you cookies. I mean, he stalks Arnold, so why wouldn't he send you cookies?
That's right. Arnold cookies.
You know.
It's made with gunpowder.
Terminator cookies.
So this has been another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast with
Matt the Electric Monkey,
Frank T. Biscuit,
and Mark, the host that talks too much, but that's okay. Until next time,
meow.
Live long and prosper.
Oh.
That's how you close out this one.
Or hasta la vista, baby, or something. But yeah, live long and prosper. Oh, that's my... I have... Before we go, I we're not done yet. My other favorite moment, along with the Picard and Shatner scene... We forgot probably the most important scene in the entire fucking saga.
I know which one you're talking about.
I have been and forever will be your friend.
Yes.
The most important moment in all of Star Trek.
If you can watch that and not cry,
because
you have no heart.
Spock and Kirk are the most important thing, and we talked about that last year. We talked about that last year when Nimoy passed away, and that moment is fantastic. And on that note, definitely live long and prosper. Thanks for listening.
This is Walker Simonson. You're listening to the Rebel Radio Podcast.
This is Clifton Collins Jr., and you're listening to Rebel Radio. We'll be right back.